Thank you for the opportunity to be with you here this morning. I was wondering, just to poll the audience, how many of you here are human? When I was listening to the prayer, and he was talking about the ice breaking and the warmth and the radiance, I saw it was going to be like 95 on Wednesday. And I thought, how human are we that, you know, we grumble and complain because it's going to be 95 and humid, and some of you may, you know, sweat buckets like I do. And I thought, well, you know, 6 months ago it was freezing cold and we were complaining about that. And I thought, you know, how many of us are human? How many just we complain about all sorts of different things? We're not content. We want, you know, 65 to 75 year round, and we complain, and that's our humanness. And we're going to look today at a lesson on faithfulness. We're going to read the first chapter of Ruth, and I encourage you to take your Bibles and to leave them open, because we're going to go back and go through this in a little more detail. There's a lot here, and so probably be helpful if you could read along or follow along, because it's a lot this morning, but I think there's a lot in there that we want to look at. So Ruth chapter 1, we're going to be beginning at the first verse. And you stand, it's a long time. Go ahead and sit down. If you get halfway through and you want to sit down, feel free to. I don't want you to be uncomfortable in this. So it's a long chapter. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of people by providing food for them, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness to you, as you've shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight, and then give birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and a woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told him. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and began to clean in the fields behind the harvesters. It turned out she found herself working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. This is the word of the Lord. Now, I asked you to keep your Bibles open, so if you have them, let's look at where is Ruth? Where? I wonder, why is the book of Ruth in the Bible? If you turn back a couple of pages, you'll find the book of Judges, where God's people are being led by judges. And then if you turn after Ruth, you find the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, which introduced us to the kings, King Saul and King David. So up until this time and after this time, the Bible is talking about God's people, the nation of Israel, and its leaders and its people. But now we come to this book of Ruth, which is the book named after an individual. It's the first time in the Bible we see that a book is named after a single person. Now, the book of Ruth kind of reminds me of a commercial. We've got the book of Judges and God's people. We've got 1 and 2 Samuel introducing us to kings and God's people. And then we got this story of Ruth and the story about going to Moab. And it kind of interrupts the flow in a way. And we see here that this is a lesson of God's faithfulness and a lesson of our faithfulness in being part of God's plan of salvation. The book of Ruth is in the Bible because it continues the story of God's plan of salvation. Now, it's interesting if you look at the first couple of verses. The book is named after Ruth, but we're not introduced to Ruth right away. We're introduced to Elimelech and his wife Naomi. And Naomi is kind of the first person that is involved in the first chapter here. And as we look at that, I question, who is this woman, Naomi? Well, we don't know a lot about her except what we read in this first chapter. But as we look at this story, I want to see an underlying flow, which is a lesson on faithfulness. Now, one of the difficulties is we come to worship and we are kind of simple people, and when we leave and pastors are talking, give them 3 points and they can go home with 3 points. And so this morning, when you hear a lesson on faithfulness, you may think, well, give me 3 things to do and I'll go out and do them. Well, it's not that simple. It's not just a lesson on faithfulness, and I'm going to give you 3 easy steps to faithfulness. I always kind of question those sermons, 5 easy ways to, or 7 easy ways, or 3 easy ways, and because we are different. We're all individuals. We've all been created in the image of God, but we're all different. For example, myself, I might be seen in a totally different way than a Brian with an O might be, because he's a little different than I am. And if you don't know that, you can put the two of us together in a room and you'll notice it right away. So if you came here and you saw this lesson on faithfulness, you thought, oh good, I'll take some notes, I'll get 3 points, and I'll go home and I'll carry them out and I'll get it done. Well, no, because the lesson on faithfulness runs throughout our whole life. It's not just something we just do and we can check it off. It's something that we have to take on for our whole life. And I think that this is a very important time for us to study a lesson on faithfulness. Because this is a time in our nation where churches are declining in attendance and in membership. And we need to say, how are we being faithful to God so that other people see it and they want what we have? And so I think it's a very timely message about not only how can we be faithful, but how we worship a God who is faithful. The depth of our faith is tested when? When we're in trials, right? When we need help. When everything's going good and going our way, do we need God? When we're struggling and we don't know which way to turn, we often turn to God. But that's not true faith. We don't abandon our faith when things aren't going our way. Now, we don't see clearly Naomi expressing faith. But I said, there's an underlying current in this chapter that I hope that I can illuminate to you and prove to you that Naomi was a woman of faith and faithfulness, and Ruth became a woman of faith and faithfulness. So, there is a problem if you have your Bibles open. The first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Now that's tough. When there's a famine, there's no food. No food anywhere. And this is really a struggle. So where do they turn? Well, the man from Bethlehem and Judea, together with his wife, they went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now, when we talk about faith, you probably think, well, here faith broke down. Why didn't they stay and wait out? Why didn't they just pray and say, God, you know, we know that you're going to take care of this family. We're just going to tough it out. I don't know. If you know, let me know afterwards. I don't know why. But I do know that this is part of God's plan, and we're going to see God working through it. We don't know why we go through struggles. We don't know why we go through trials sometimes until we look back and we can see God's hand through it. This is part of God's plan of salvation and a lesson of faith. So they leave Bethlehem in Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread, which is interesting. They live the city which is called house of bread, and there's a famine. And there's no food. And so they go to the country of Moab, which is not God's country, God's land. But in the midst of the situation, Naomi remains faithful to God. Now, I can kind of relate. This is one of the reasons I see Naomi's faith, and maybe I see it better than some other people, because I kind of relate to this story, and we're going to talk more about her faithfulness as we go through this, but I can relate to this story because of a woman very dear to me, my mother. My mother was a pastor's wife. So I am a PK, a privileged kid. And she was behind the scenes. I never saw my mother stand up and preach. I never saw her go down the street corner evangelizing. She was involved in Bible studies, you know, like many ladies. She worked in the kitchen when there was anything to be done there and that, and she was very dependable. But she never boldly proclaimed her faith. In fact, it wasn't until I saw her later in life, on her deathbed, that I realized the faith that she had. My mother went into the hospital, and she was going to have surgery for cancer. And we were sitting in a waiting room, and the doctor came out and said, I'm sorry to tell you, but she's full of cancer, and there's nothing we can do but make her comfortable. And so after she recovered from the anesthetic and all that, she was in a room. We went to see her. We knew, and she knew that time was not long for her. And she looked at my wife and I, and she said, you know, I am not worried. I'm going to be okay. And I'm not worried about you. And I thought, here's this woman behind the scenes all the time, and I don't see this faith until just before she passes. A woman whose body was overcome with cancer had no worries, no fears, only faith. And that's what I see in Naomi. Naomi is facing challenges here. I mean, she has to leave her homeland. She has to leave her family, her friends, because there is a famine. It's starvation. Now, things don't get better as we go on. Look what happens next. Verse 3. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. So there's a famine. Now her husband dies. And then continuing on in verse 4, her sons married Moabite women. And after they lived there about 10 years, both of them also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Now, that's a lot of despair, isn't it? She's gone through, you know, three strikes, you're out. She lost her husband, she lost both sons, she lost three individuals in a period of time, and she is alone. But she's not alone, because she still has a God that she has faith in. She continues to be faithful to a God who is faithful. Look at verse 6. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. Who provided the food for them? It doesn't say when she heard that the crops recovered, people had food, she went back. When she heard the Lord had come to his people. That to me is a glimpse of her faithfulness. She knew the Lord provides. She knew that the Lord was providing in that situation. And so she hears and she sets out to return home with her two daughters-in-law. Verse 7, with her two daughters-in-law, they left the place where they'd been living, set on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Now, Naomi is not just thinking about herself. She's thinking about her daughters-in-law in verse 8. Go back. Look what she says to them. May the Lord show kindness to you. There again, she's talking about the Lord. The Lord showed kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Now, I don't think that's in there because that's just the phrase that you use. May the Lord grant you peace. May the Lord give you food. May the Lord. I think she's truly telling us, and her daughters-in-law, she has faith. It's the Lord who will provide, no matter what the situation. She was showing kindness and love. And she then explains why they need to go back, because she has no hope for them. Don't come after me. She's old. Even if I have a husband, by the time they would, you know, grow up to be marrying age, you're going to be old. And so it's not going to work. So you need to go back. And so she continues. But listen to what she says. She's very honest. Like I said a few moments ago, we're human. When it's going to be 95 this week, I'm going to complain. I'm not going to be happy. When it's going to be freezing, I'm going to complain. We are human. Listen to what she says in verse 13, the last part. Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughter. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. There we see the Lord again. Now she claims the Lord provided, the Lord is taking care, but the Lord has also brought me misery. The Lord has gone out against me. So we may think, well, she's turned against God. Well, not so. Not so, because as we look at and Orpah, she returns, but we hear that Ruth clings to her. She clings to her. Look at verse 16. Don't urge, Ruth is speaking, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Naomi has just said, the Lord's hand has gone out against me. But Ruth said, I want your God to be my God. So you see, that's where I see that there's an underlying flow of faithfulness in Naomi. Ruth sees something in Naomi she wants, and it's her God. Even though she says, my God, his hand has gone out against me, she still wants it. There's a lesson on faithfulness. Because Naomi didn't paint God as a God of all smooth and straight paths. How many of you has life been so easy and you've never had any encounters or trials? I mean, we all have stories. We could go around the room and we'd all have a story of some sort of challenge or some sort of struggle that we've had in life, or we know of people who we walked with. But Naomi demonstrates she had a faith in God, no matter how deep the hole she was in. So they returned, and they came to Bethlehem. Look at what she says to the ladies in verse 20. Don't call me Naomi, she told me. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. There again, she's honest. She's honest. The Lord, you know, I struggled with what's happened to me. But still, there's an underlying flow of faith that Ruth is going to stick with her, stick by her. So, we close the part of this story being introduced to a man named Boaz. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer who marries Ruth. If you don't know the rest of the story, let me tell you a little bit of it. Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. And from King David's line comes Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Ruth is part of God's plan. Ruth is not only the first book, which is labeled by an individual, which is called after the one person, but it's also the first story of God reaching out to the Gentiles. Ruth was not part of the chosen. She was not a Jew. She was not part of it, but she came part of God's plan of salvation, which is great news for us this morning, because God uses ordinary, even some extraordinary, and you can take that good or bad. He takes the ordinary people and he uses them. Naomi remained faithful. She was bitter, but through her faithfulness, her daughter-in-law Ruth became a faithful follower of God and becomes part of the story of the descendants of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, God in his faithfulness and uses a faithful follower of God. So the question is, how can God use your faithfulness in 2025? I don't have three easy steps for you to take. All I have is encouragement. Encouragement. Just be faithful to a God who is faithful. I don't know who this week you're going to run into that's going to see in you a faith that they want. I don't know what situation you're going to be in and how you're going to have to react, but I encourage you to remain faithful. And the lesson on faithfulness is it's okay if we struggle, we lash out at God, but remain faithful to Him. Know that God's in control of all situations and all times. The God who is faithful can use you right where you are and just as you are. You don't need to leave here today and say, well, the pastor told me I had to change. No, you don't need to change. You just need to be faithful. Be faithful to the God who is faithful. So, keep the faith going. Keep the faith in God going and growing. That's what matters. That's what's going to change people. They're going to see that in you. They're going to say, hey, I want your God to be my God. Let's pray. Lord, you have created us unique individuals. And you have placed us in this place, this for such a time as this. Lord, as we go out from this place, that's where our faith is seen. It's not something that's we put on when we walk through these doors and then we hang it on the coat rack when we leave and go on with our daily life. Faith is something that we walk with and need to demonstrate every day in different ways. Some are very vocal. Some like to speak and evangelize and talk about Jesus. Others like to show Jesus and talk about, you know, their story. How God was with me when I encountered this. God was with me. And inviting others to know that God. The God who is faithful. The God who is loving. The God who is caring. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, use us mightily, use us boldly. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our mouths so that we can be faithful to you in all we do and all we say. In your name we pray. Amen.